Let's read together Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Now in this first section of Ephesians 2, we have the great truth that all believers are already enthroned in heaven. That is, in reference to our spiritual position in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Let's begin this first section of Ephesians 2 with some background notes. Only in the book of Ephesians do we learn the great truth that believers are ascended and seated with Christ in heaven. Did you know that? Look at verse 6 once again. God has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Only in Ephesians do we have this great truth taught. In Romans and Colossians, for example, we have the great truth of the believer's death and resurrection with Christ, but not the believer's ascension with Christ. That truth is taught here in Ephesians. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 5, and also verse 11. And then Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. So Romans and Colossians clearly teach our death and resurrection in Christ. But now Ephesians goes further and teaches us our ascension and enthronement with Christ. Now, what does this mean? This is our spiritual position in Christ. We didn't physically die with Christ on the cross, but God sees us as if we were crucified with Christ. We were not physically resurrected with Christ, but God sees us as if we were resurrected with Christ. And we did not physically ascend with Christ, but God sees us as if we've ascended with Christ. This is our spiritual position in Christ. So when we become Christians, we receive more than forgiveness of sins, much more. Right now we are in Christ. This is our spiritual position, or put it this way, our legal standing before a holy and a righteous God. God sees us not only as forgiven sinners, but in Christ. That is, identified with Christ in his death and resurrection and ascension. So we are in heaven already. We are not literally in heaven, but if you are a believer, you are there in Christ now. That is your spiritual position. This is a great truth taught here and only here in the book of Ephesians. So that will be our doctrinal point for this first section of Ephesians 2. Believers are in heaven already. Believers are in heaven already. Now we have three subpoints, A, B, and C. A, we were dead. B, we are alive. C, we are ascended. Here we have a true rags-to-riches story, and this is your story here this morning if you're a believer. So subpoint A, we were dead, verses 1 through 3, once again. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead, that is, spiritually dead, separated from God, no life in God or from God. Let me ask you, can dead people bring themselves back to life? Of course not. If you're physically dead, you're dead. You can't do a thing about your condition. Only God can. Well, the same is true of your spiritual condition. If you're spiritually dead, you're dead. God must do all the work of bringing you to life. And God did do all the work of saving us. Praise his name. Now, I want you to notice three aspects of our former dead condition in these three verses. That is, three characteristics of life apart from God. One, following the world. Verse 2, you once walked according to the course of this world. What's the world, anyway? The world in this context is the system of values and attitudes that's contrary to God and his word. For example, the Bible says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on this earth. Matthew 6:19. The world says, no, lay up for yourselves treasures on this earth. That's a value and attitude of this world system. The Bible says, if you want to be great, serve one another. Luke 22, verse 26. The world says, that's not the way it works. If you want to be great, truly great, make people serve you. Everybody follow? The world system of values and attitudes is satanic at its roots. Satan is the mastermind behind the world system. Unbelievers follow the world system of values and attitudes because unbelievers are spiritually dead. That's our point. And they have no life or power from God and can't do anything but follow the world system of values and attitudes. A second characteristic of a spiritually dead person is following the devil. Again, verse 2. You once walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Before we became Christians and were made alive in Christ, we were pawns of Satan, whether we realized it or not, even if we were religious. Remember what our Lord said to the religious Jews in John chapter 8, verse 44. You are of your father, the devil. Satan is the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that is mentioned here. See there at the end of verse 2? What does this mean? At the present time, even though Satan has already been judged at the cross, Satan and the evil spirits are allowed to function in this space-matter-time universe. And since Satan controls this present world system of values and attitudes, unbelievers are followers of the devil, whether they realize it or not. A third characteristic of a person who is spiritually dead and alienated from God is following the flesh. Verse 3, we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh. What's the flesh, anyway? The flesh is the sinful nature that we are born with, and it affects both our bodies and our minds. Notice verse 3 again, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Even religious people can have pornographic minds because of the flesh. Because of the flesh, the sinful nature, everyone deserves the wrath of God. Verse 3, therefore, in our lives, before salvation came, we were all children of wrath, whether religious or not. So this is the sorry condition of everyone apart from Christ, dead and deserving the wrath of God because of following the world, because of following Satan, because of following the flesh. Subpoint B, we are alive. We are alive. Verses 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. What wonderful truth this is. Notice, we didn't make ourselves alive. We were dead. God made us alive. We now have life from God. We are now born again. That is, if you're a believer here. If you're not a believer here this morning, you are still in that condition that we just had in the first three verses. You're dead. You're spiritually dead. You're alienated from God. But this is the good news here in verses 4 and 5. If you've come to faith in Christ, we are alive. Why did God make us alive? not because of anything good in us. What does the Bible say? Well, notice three things here. Because of God's mercy, verse 4. Because of God's love, verse 4. And because of God's grace, verse 5. What's the difference between God's grace and mercy? Mercy emphasizes our great need because of sin. Grace emphasizes our great source of help, the Lord Himself. Because of God's mercy, we don't receive what we do deserve, namely the wrath of God. Because of God's grace, we do receive what we don't deserve, namely all the blessings of heaven, as we see here in verse 7. Subpoint C, we are ascended, verses 6 and 7. And God raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Remember, this is one of the great truths of Ephesians concerning our spiritual position. Seated in the heavenlies does not mean that we are already in heaven physically, but our spiritual position in the spiritual realm is that we are already enthroned with Christ. That's the way God sees us. We are already associated with our Lord in his exaltation. Now that's a pretty good insurance policy, isn't it? If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, then you can't lose your salvation. You've already risen and ascended and been enthroned with Christ in heaven. This is your spiritual position. So when we die, there is no question as to our salvation, and there is no waiting period. Purgatory is not in the Bible. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, believers who die are absent from the body, present with the Lord. Because of your spiritual position in Christ, you are eternally secure. Believers are in heaven already. What about practical application? Remember, we are God's Exhibit A forever. Remember, we are God's Exhibit A forever. Let's read verse 7 once again. That in the ages to come, God might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. What's the idea here anyway? The idea here is that forever, God will display us as trophies of his grace. To whom? To the intelligent universe of people and powers. Just as in a court of law, Exhibit A's are convincing evidence of the case, so we will be forever the proof of God's grace. Think of experiencing the unending kindness of God toward us forever. It will never end because God is infinite in his rich resources. And you can never reach infinity. The exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. We will experience this forever. Remember, we are God's Exhibit A forever.